this is the Infinite Energy Show, where together we explore the infinite dimensions of energy. We're sisters Kay and Shai, seasoned restaurateurs, university educators, and the visionary co-founders of the Neuroencoding Institute. We're not just sisters by blood, but your allies in personal growth and transformation. Here's what we know about you. You want more energy. How do we know? Because everybody does, including the most successful people in the world. So let's get to it, because in the world of infinite energy, anything is possible. Hey there, family. It's International Women's Month, and that means that today we're talking all about the feminine energy.
Now, we're not saying down with dudes and bad with the masculine energy. We're saying let's recognize the balance of both energies present in every human being.
We can't talk about feminine energy without also addressing the masculine side too. So we're going to be covering both of these fundamental life energies in today's episode.
There is an infinite amount of ways that these two energies interplay into our lives, and today we'll examine the feminine energy and the way it presents in our relationships, our emotions, our spirituality, and more.
So let's get started on today's episode of the Infinite Energy Show.
All right, let's define what we mean when we talk about these two energies. First, with feminine energy, we're talking about that energy of collaboration, of openness, of flexibility, of nurturing, of community. These are the traits associated with the universal force of feminine energy.
Now, the traits associated with the universal force of masculine energy are those of competitiveness, logic, independence, and assertiveness. But it's important to note that these aren't just specific to the genders that they are implied under.
When we want to understand and recognize that all of us as human beings have both of these energies alive inside of us. In fact, nature has this alive inside of her and him as well. And we'll get to explore that a little bit later. But as we look at these two energies and define them inside of ourselves, I love that you point out, Kay, it's not just about the gender as it traditionally has been in our society, but about the fact that these are both present in our lives all the time.
But because it is International Women's Month, we are here to celebrate a little more of that feminine energy and to explore it further. Traditionally, our society has run as a patriarchy. And so the chorus of those singing for the empowerment of women and the feminine energy at large has grown bigger and bigger as time has gone on. And we're excited to sing right along here today. Now, it is important to note that historically and cross cultures, feminine energy has been celebrated on a lot of levels.
For instance, in the Greek mythology, we have Athena. She is the goddess of warfare and different than martial gods in other mythologies that we see because she brings more about strategy rather than brutality.
Additionally, if we travel a little further east, we see Devi, the mother goddess. But the thing about Devi is that she's also brought forward with aspects like Durga and Kali. And these energies are about protection, courage, and even chaos. We see feminine energy on both of its spectrums being brought forward again throughout history.
We also have the Egyptian goddess of Isis, who was celebrated for her nurturing, her goddess of magic and motherhood. We even see her reassembling her husband Osiris and resembling that ability to connect and to reassemble.
Ooh, that healing energy is just so beautiful from the feminine aspect. So love it. Now, these are some things that come forward from a divine perspective, maybe a more mystical or mythical perspective, but ladies have been baddies even historically. So let's talk about an OG baddie, Cleopatra.
Right, we have the mythology, which we love, but there's also some real historical examples of feminine energy rising to the top and rising to power, like Cleopatra, an amazing leader, an Egyptian pharaoh, who was celebrated for her ability to bring together communities, to connect, to strategically lead, and to do things that were often thought impossible by a woman at the time.
You know what I love about the correlation between Cleopatra and our goddess Athena is this idea that success doesn't only have to come through brute force and brutality, that sometimes we win wars through strategy. And this is the difference between that feminine and the masculine approach. Now, we can't go through a historical example without talking about one of the OGs, Miss Joan of Arc. Now, she did have to pose as a man to get into the army that she served in, but she helped to lead a successful battle at just the age of 19.
Now, we'll get to talk about a few more historical examples of women in leadership and rising to the top despite the patriarchy. But we're so excited that from mythology to history, there are examples of the feminine energy and women in general rising to the top, being celebrated, and helping put on the pedestal feminine energy.
Next up, we're going to explore the embodiment of feminine energy as it results to, hey, Mother Nature. But here's the thing about Mother Nature. She's beautiful and abundant, but she also brings forward some pretty destructive forces, just like we see reflected in that Hindu goddess of Devi with her different aspects of Durga and Kali. This is one of those things about the feminine energy. It's got both.
You even hear us say Mother Earth, this idea that there's this feminine energy that protects, that provides, that allows for the life to expand and deepen on and within her borders. But of course, that destruction is present. We can't have birth without death and without rebirth. And we see this present on the earth in so many different aspects.
Did you just talk a little bit about cycles, Shai?
Sure did.
That is one of the hallmarks of feminine energy, is the cyclical nature. So much so that women were even gifted with, cycles.
That's right. This is part of the feminine energy, these cycles. We see this reflected in nature with the cycles of the moon, with the cycles of the rising and setting of the sun, with the cycles of the rising and retreating of the tides. In fact, cycles are everywhere in nature, from the seasons to the tides to so much more.
Oh, if you're going to talk about the moon, like, come on now.
She's the moon girl.
The moon is so cool. Not only does she go through her awesome phases, but she influences the tides. Look, I'm even calling it a she. I guess I feminized it of my own accord, but here we go. And it's got so much influence magnetically here on the earth, so much so that women and our cycles will even sync up to the magnetism of the moon.
When we look at water on the earth's surface as well, which the earth is about 70% water, we see it reflecting this feminine energy as well, right? We see it flowing, we see it creating. Life is the fertile crescent, is all about where the water is and where it makes it fertile ground available for that growth and that creation, all associated with the feminine energy.
As we journey through the tapestry of nature, we see feminine energy so very present, as we also see masculine energy present, right? That nature is building constantly, expanding. There's real competitiveness in the natural order of things. And so where masculine energy is also present, so there is the feminine too.
The feminine energy shows up in our psychology and our psychological well-being as well. And the more it's understood, the more we're able to build this whole picture of how feminine and masculine energy work inside of our psyche.
In fact, the psychologist Carl Jung even brought forward this idea when he talked about anima being us as humans, and then the aspect of animus that comes out of this. This is the aspect of masculine, the anima, and the feminine, animus. And when they're well balanced inside a human mind, we find much more psychological well-being.
The field of psychology is beginning to embrace and celebrate more and more this balance of both of these. In fact, we see it in the rise of EQ. We have IQ, which we already know is that intelligence quotient, how smart we are, how action-oriented we are, those traits that are typically associated with the masculine energy, important presence to be. But what we know is that we get more and we have a better holistic understanding of a human when we have the rise and understanding, embracing of the EQ, the emotional quotient, our emotional intelligence, our ability to emotionally connect. Both of these are present in the psychology, and when the anima and animus come together, we have that healthier, happier human being.
So what are some of those feminine aspects of the EQ? Well, the first one is empathy. If you've ever found yourself watching a movie and maybe getting a little tear in your eye, that's empathy at play. You're able to feel what someone else is feeling, whether they're struggling or happy or excited. You're catching on to that energy, and it's baked into us physically through something in our brain called mirror neurons.
Now, our EQ is primarily fueled by our intuition, which we like to call our gut feeling. What we know about our gut feeling is that there are a massive amount of neurons inside of your gut. In fact, they call it the gut brain. There's so many neurons in there. So we can call it a gut feeling, and it's been dismissed for a long time as maybe lady woo-woo, but we're so glad to see this coming more and more into the mainstream and being better understood and embraced for its role and how it can help navigate not only personal lives, but organizations and our families as well.
As the thinking from our hearts and our guts start to come in alignment with the thinking from our brains, we gain a more holistic picture of how we can be successful, be happier, and ultimately live a more whole life as human beings.
the feminine energy inside of our psychology, when married and matched with the masculine energy inside of our psychology, allows us to have better depth and more understanding and operate and walk this earth in a more whole and human way.
Next up, we're gonna hit that fast forward button. We've talked a little bit about the history. We've talked a little bit about what it has looked like in the studies that have happened, but hey, feminine energy is having some real changes in today's society.
Might wanna call it the feminine energy era, because that's what we're in. Societally speaking, we are seeing this pop up all over the place now. First, let's just recognize that it is a messy process, that sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, and that there are still many steps to take. But hey, there's been a lot of great progress celebrating women in society and the feminine energy at large. And that's what we want to address right now.
Let's talk about two steps forward with the Me Too and the Time's Up movement, creating a global voice for women who were experiencing assault and violence. And then the one step back that we saw with the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
We see that it's not always easy to balance the scales, but we do know that it's worth it. And we see feminine energy continuing to bring more to this tapestry of the conversation and more understanding and ability of what 51% of our world's population is experiencing.
Beyond just laws and movements, we're also seeing feminine energy start to take over the family dynamic as well, creating more balance out of traditional roles of dad makes the money and mom stays home and keeps the house.
Right, the institution of the family isn't the only one seeing feminine energy have its moment. We're also seeing it happen in governments, where we're seeing the rise of women and females in power, maybe a little slower than some of us would like, but it is still trending in the right direction, as well as in the area and institution of education, where we see social emotional learning, or SEL, really taking a shine and being able to demonstrate that when we focus on social emotional learning, typically associated with the feminine energy, that we're seeing better test scores, happier kids, less strife, and more collaboration within schools that are using and implementing these programs.
Well, I think from a dark side of feminine energy, when we don't take care of our social and emotional selves, we end up seeing things like depression and anxiety come in full force. And so paying attention to these things is not just practical, it's literally saving people's lives.
So our societies at large are benefiting as we embrace, celebrate, and elevate the feminine energy. And we're so glad to see it, even if it's going slower than we'd like, and even if it's a little bit sloppy along the way. Let's celebrate those steps forward for society's sake and feminine energy.
Hey, we've come a long way from burn the witches.
Hey, ladies can vote. We can wear pants if we want
to. We can get a credit card, buy property.
Hey, these are all great things. And we love to see the continued progress. We know it'll continue, especially as we elevate the feminine energy.
Welcome back to the Cosmic Carousel that is the Infinite Energy Show, where we put a topic in the middle and we view it from all different sides, all different angles. Today, we're talking about feminine energy. And next, we want to talk about how feminine energy is starting to see a real shift inside art and culture.
Now, historically speaking, we've seen women in art having to trailblaze, having to pioneer, sometimes having to write or create under pseudonyms or male names in order to get their things out there. But we've seen them continue to persevere so they can bring artistic expression forward throughout history.
You know who's a feminine artist that we want to take a minute to celebrate? The one and only Frida Kahlo. Frida even said, down with traditional feminism and feminist ideals that say women have to be beautiful. She embraced her unibrow. She drew self-portraits of herself as she was, not as she thought society wanted her to be.
We have Virginia Woolf and Toni Morrison both bringing forward important works in the writing aspect and through their books and their works, and helping put a spotlight on the ability for women to write and be part of the artistic movement.
I'm so glad you brought forward the literature, Shai, because writing is such an important task, and we see this impacting even in the music that gets written through the feminine lens, right? We see Beyonce and Taylor Swift slaying it with historical record-breaking tour numbers, and let's take a step back to even Aretha Franklin and Shania Twain. Man, I feel like a woman,
right? They were trail blazing, even though it wasn't always easy, their musical expression allowed for people like Beyonce and Taylor Swift to be at the global superstar status that they are today.
Now, I don't think that we can do a celebration of feminism without talking about the global smash hit, the Barbie movie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
We loved the Barbie movie, and we know so many others who did as well. And for those who didn't see it, I saw an interview recently with somebody who was saying, I didn't see it because it's a movie made for girls. Like, clearly you didn't understand. If you would have watched the movie, you would have seen it was really a reflection of society at large. And it was so powerful, I think gave voice to the feelings so many women in particular are having about feminism, about women, and about their place in society.
One of the ideas that the Barbie movie brought forward that really hit home for the two of us was that the idea that as women, we're often expected to be pretty, but not too pretty, nice, but not too nice, to stand on our own two feet, but also find a partner to depend on. And these dichotomies of the expectations around being a female can be very difficult to reconcile with. We were proud to see this represented so well in this great piece of cinema.
We hope to continue to see women celebrated in artistic expression, women coming forward, both in executive roles and in acting roles and singing roles and writing roles and so much more. Today's society has a beautiful tapestry of diverse faces that include both the masculine energy and the feminine energy, and not necessarily just from women and feminine energy and men with masculine energy, but really the cross and blending of the two.
Whether you're a Ken, a Barbie, or an Alan, we're celebrating you here in this episode on the feminine energy.
In continuation with our celebration of International Women's Month, we want to celebrate women in science and the presence of feminine energy in the scientific field.
Now, we're going to start first off with the first woman to ever win the Nobel Prize. This is the one and only Marie Curie. She won a Nobel Prize for her work in radioactivity and was critical in helping us understand ourselves on an atomic level.
How about Rosalind Franklin, who uncovered and discovered the double helix of DNA, bringing forward the next dimension of understanding when it came to that microscopic building block of life?
She helped us see ourselves. I mean, come on, that's a big deal. Think about the advancements that have been built because of this particular discovery. Now, not only are these made through the scientific process, but we're also seeing this embracing of intuition, as one of our favorite male scientists, Albert Einstein, started to see in his later years of his scientific work that he was starting to find that his scientific process combined with his intuition was where his best discoveries were made.
Now, these are only a couple of examples, historically speaking, of women. We know there are countless unsung women heroes in the scientific field who made major contributions along the way that under the patriarchy weren't necessarily celebrated at the level that they could or should have been, or recognized in the way they could have been. But we know that, as Kay mentioned, when we have this intermingling of the masculine and the feminine energy, especially when it comes to the field of science, which has traditionally been treated as a masculine area, that we see deeper understanding, better discovery, and further advancement for humankind.
Now, we live in a melting pot society here in the United States, but founded in this country was really a Christian and a Protestant ideal. We want to talk a little bit about the development of feminine energy in the Christian faith.
Yes, and we've seen that from the spirituality sense that there's often been, we know that likely spirituality has often been associated with women, but the spiritual practice of religion has not always elevated women in the same way. In fact, has often worked to de-elevate or keep down women through history. And so keeping these different roles and this dichotomy at play has been rather difficult for the Institute of Religion and for women at large. And we're so glad to see that in today's society, it's getting a little bit better as things progress. But this idea that women inside of spirituality and feminine energy inside of the institution of religion has a place has been something that has helped advance the field at large. In the field of religion, women have often been seen as the subservient class. They've been written into historical religious texts as a subservient class. And so when we see this expressed inside of religions, we see this as women in the helping role, in the community role, in the volunteer role, and not necessarily in the leadership role. In fact, actively being kept out and banned and barred from leadership, which as we start to understand it, might not have been the original intent, certainly of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, one of our favorite characters in the Bible is actually a fairly well-known prostitute who was, fact check, not a prostitute at all, the one and only Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene traveled with Jesus just like the other apostles did. And the Pope, a few decades ago, actually brought her in as one of the official apostles. She is the 13th apostle, known as the apostle to the apostles. She was the first one that Jesus came to when he rose from the dead. She was at his side when he died and at his side throughout the many miracles that he performed through his lifetime.
So we can see that religion has had a tangled relationship when it comes to feminine energy and to women. And as we recognize this, it allows us to not say down with dudes or down with men or down with religion, but rather to celebrate and elevate the fact that there is a presence historically and currently for women inside of religion and inside of spirituality.
It's amazing to see the celebration of both the masculine and the feminine energies in spiritual cultures across the globe, and to see the rise of unsung feminine heroes like Mary Magdalene in today's told stories.
Even as women, it can be hard to embrace the feminine energy because the masculine energy has been celebrated and elevated for so long inside of our society. So even if you intellectually are understanding that the feminine energy has a place in your life, but you're feeling that internal strife, you're not alone. We feel it too, and we understand it too. And this is where we want to share a little bit some of our experiences with the feminine energy growing up and currently, and a little bit of how you can cultivate it and nurture it in your own life.
Now, maybe you have fallen to the what we like to call achiever's syndrome, which is a get it done at all costs, burn yourself out to get the task done. Now, this is an overuse of a masculine energy, and Shai and I didn't realize that this was at play in our own lives until we really started to study what the masculine and feminine energies were.
And understanding that there was room for both. In fact, without even realizing it, we had seen that we were societally programmed to celebrate and more value that masculine energy, right? That get it done, that aggressiveness, that even if you think back to the teachers that you respected most in grade school, middle school, and high school, likely, even though you weren't meaning to in a conscious sense, you more respected your male teachers than you did your female teachers. And we know that this comes from just thousands of years of societal programming. So it's okay. And again, not down with dudes, just understanding that this has been something at play for a long time. And until we bring it into the light, we won't understand it. We saw our own mom burning herself out, working at all costs. The to-do list was the most important thing. Work was the most important thing. Achievement was the most important thing. And sometimes sacrificing and dampening those things that we celebrate as feminine energy, the nurturing, the collaboration, the empathy, the emotional intelligence.
Even her mental health at points suffered because of this endless pushing. Now, we found ourselves then getting into adulthood and pushing at all costs. But imagine if the tide did nothing but push against the shore and push. It would flood all of the land and we wouldn't have a healthy balance. As the tide pushes and pulls, so do we need to both push forward and to retreat back in rest and relaxation.
So we're encouraging you to embrace the feminine energy of grace. Give yourself some grace as you think maybe you've only been embracing one energy or the other. For those of you who are only on the feminine energy side, you'll do well to embrace a little bit more of the masculine energy to get things done, to be a little bit more confident, to have a little bit more of that healthy aggression and to be competing when it's healthy for you. But understanding that when we balance the two and allow ourselves to elevate both of them, that we're able to live a better life that is healthier for us and happier too.
You know, I think as women, it's easy for us to fall into the role of the secondary, right? To fall into the role of compliance. But oftentimes, if we bring a little bit more, again, like Shaila said, of that masculine energy forward, we can find that we can balance these things in a healthy way and let our voices be heard because they deserve to be so.
So give yourself some grace, elevate those sides of you that need elevating, whichever side of the energetic equation it's on, and allow yourself to become a more whole, healthy, and happy human being.
Today, we discussed and we celebrated all things feminine energy. We looked at it from the scientific perspective, the societal perspective. We talked about feminine energy in art and in culture, and even a little bit of how feminine and masculine balance has been present in our own lives.
We love celebrating the masculine energy, and we've seen how it's been celebrated primarily historically throughout our societies. And we looked at the feminine energy and how the more we elevate it, the better our societies can be, the more happy and healthy our humans can be. We looked at how these two energies can coexist, how they exist in nature, in tandem together, how they exist in our psychology, and how when we have IQ and EQ, that we end up being more whole humans that are able to achieve more and receive more.
So here in International Women's Month, we've taken the statue of feminine energy and put it in the middle. We've walked all the way around it. And maybe you've heard some nuggets in here that you thought, well, maybe I can find some places to enact more feminine energy in your life. Now, if you're thinking this, we've got some action items for you. The first one is to maybe do a little bit of experimentation around feeling inside your gut. Remember, there's a thinking brain inside there that can really benefit you if you lean into it. If you've got a gut feeling, try following it and just see what happens.
Right? Develop that intuition. Trust your gut. Allow it to be part of the navigator, not the only navigator, but part of your navigation system. Remember to lean into your empathy. Feelings are okay. Permission to feel, permission to be empathetic and to understand how others are feeling, and to use that to your advantage. Developing that EQ only helps you. We encourage you to continue to look into this subject, to celebrate the women in your life, to celebrate the women historically who have contributed to our societies, and to help us celebrate the infinite energy that comes forward when we bring both masculine and feminine energies to the table.
To all of our sisters and misters out there, remember that today's International Women's Month episode comes at you with the most love from your sisters,
Kay and Chai. Thanks, everybody.